Good morning. Today I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, appropriately entitled In the Beginning. But you won't find it on page 1, it's on page 3. So it shouldn't be too hard to find. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And so it was. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And so it was. The land produced vegetation, plant bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Amen.
Good morning. I'm glad you're awake by now. Good morning. So we're continuing our series on faith, the great heroes of faith. And we will look at various of the heroes of faith like Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Moses and various others. But we actually start with us as the heroes of faith, those who believe in the God who made something from nothing. So I was very enthusiastic about this sermon, and I realized I had one verse, which was Hebrews 11 verse 3. So what did I do? I went and picked Genesis 1:1-2, Genesis 2 verse 3 to think about and to talk about. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God made something out of nothing. Now, this is Brian Cox, Professor Brian Cox, who does a lot of programs on TV. He even has a little puppet of himself. And he's basically, when he brings this puppet out, he goes, "Look at the stars." And that's one of Brian Cox's big famous words, "Look at the stars." So I want us to look at the stars a little bit, to get some perspective on what we are talking about. Now, this is going to possibly give some of you a bit of a headache, but it's worth getting a headache when you start thinking about who God really is. I can testify to that, and I've just seen Anna Jacobs in the congregation, so I'm waving at her. Some of you don't know Anna, but I love her. Anyway, so this will give you a headache, but it's good to get a headache because God's big, okay? I remember at school going, "My dad's bigger than your dad." Well, he wasn't. But, you know, when it comes to God, my Father, my Heavenly Father, my dad is bigger than any other dad that there is. Now, some facts. Light travels at 300,000 kilometers per second. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was. And light came out of the mouth of God at 300,000 kilometers per second. You do not want to be in the way of that, believe me. Light could do with a few speed bumps to slow it down. Light travels at an amazing, incredible speed. And so we have to measure light and distance in the universe in light years. And light travels 9.5 trillion kilometers. That's what that number is, in 1 year. Now that is breaking a few speed limits, I can tell you. That is fast. So we refer to distances in this universe that God made from nothing in light years. Our nearest neighbours, you know what? We don't have problems with our nearest neighbours because our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. That, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, Starsky and Hutch, is 42.75 trillion kilometres away. It's a long way. It's a big universe. I'm sure that some of you are fans of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I know I am. And it starts with, the universe is big. I mean really big. Not just big. It's bigger than an elephant. No, it's not. Nor a submarine or a skyscraper. We're talking really big universe. Some more facts. So our solar system made up of various pieces of rock. And gas, the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, that's all I could remember. And it goes out to Pluto, and we don't even know if that's a planet or not. That is our solar system. Within the Milky Way, which is our galaxy, there is probably between 100 and 200 billion stars, and probably they lost count, apparently, so they had to start again. It's huge, and there are probably something like 2 trillion galaxies in the known, notice, known universe. Okay, so at which point, when I was looking at this, this happened. You kind of go, okay, yeah, so it's big, isn't it? The universe is big. So let's go back to Hebrews 11:3. This is the God who spoke that into being. That's what we were reading about. And God said, and God said, and God said. Now, some of you will like all the stats. Some of you like numbers. I call you naughty people. And I thought that was really even worth a titter, for goodness sake. So, some of you, more like me, prefer that. Does anyone know what that is? The Milky Way. We're in it. Okay, we're in the middle of it somewhere. I have seen the Milky Way. You can't see it from Hartford, I'm sorry. You've got this great big filthy city nearby called London, or Mordor, as I prefer to refer to it. And light pollution destroys it. You can't see it. If you go out into the middle of a road in Argentina or somewhere else, or you go to the Mariana, or you go to somewhere, you can look up and you see that. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to go, it's big. Not only is it big, it's very, very beautiful. And it is amazing. And this is our galaxy. And stars in our galaxy. Amazing. Does anybody know what that is? That's the Horsehead Nebula. That, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, etc., is 1,500 light years away. I didn't do the mathematics, and I just on your computer. It's a long way away. This is actually popularly called the Eye of God. It is another fantastic, it's called the Helix Nebula. And that's only 300 light years away. That's just around the corner, really. And it is wondrous. It is utterly wondrous. And we believe that our God made all that out of nothing. Theologians, when you start understanding something, they start talking Latin, so you lose track. And actually, creation out of nothing is said to be ex nihilo, out of nothing. You can't get something for nothing. This is a picture that was taken in 1968 from Apollo 8. It's called Earthrise. I don't know about you, but I get emotional when I see that. That's our little planet. There's nothing like it in what we know. There might be some Goldilocks planets, you know, not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Planets that may possibly, on a good day down here with the wind behind it, actually produce life. But that's our little planet. That's where we live. And isn't it beautiful? Isn't it? Don't you think it's beautiful? Green, blue planet floating along in this massive universe. absolutely stunning. In 1990, Voyager 1 was a probe that was sent to the outward parts of our galaxy. And just as it was just passing Pluto, it turned round and it was asked to take a series of pictures. It was, and they put these series of pictures together. And I don't know about you, if you ever get a picture, a photograph of a wedding, and there's all these faces, you look for yourself, don't you? Well, I do anyway. That's the way I hang. Anyway, can you see yourself? Can you see us? Can anybody see us? No? Well, in that little sunbeam down there, on the right, is a dot. It's a pale blue dot. That's us. Everything that ever happened in the history of humanity happened on that pale blue dot. And that's not even leaving our solar system. Do you feel small yet? Well, you should do, because we are small in this big universe. And the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ spoke that into being. And the psalmist, David, probably lying on his hillside in Palestine, wrote this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? The psalmist had a perspective. David, the ancient, 1,000 years before Christ came along, saw that, probably because he was actually lying on a hillside looking at that. And he saw what God had made. So we come back to this verse in Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made from what was visible. Now the important question is, what does this mean? What does it mean for us to believe in this sort of God? What does it mean? Because, I mean, we stand in wonder. I don't know about you, but I stand in wonder at that. What does it mean? So when we look at Genesis 1, Genesis 1 was written many, many thousands of years ago, and there were ancient creation stories, creation myths. This was a really famous one, probably the background of what Genesis 1 was written about. This is the Enuma Elish, a Babylonian myth, where Marduk, the major god, kills this dragon, separates its body out, makes the land out of one part of it and the sky out the other, takes the blood of the dragon's husband and creates human beings in order that they may serve the gods. That was the background. That was what was floating around at the time of Genesis 1. Now, we have some contemporary creation stories, we could say myths as well. This is from M Theory by Stephen Hawking. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself out of nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. That's why the universe exists and we exist. And there's multiverse theory. You won't remember this. I don't remember. I look it up every time. But it does amaze me. This picture of the universe, or multiverse, as it is called, explains the long-standing mystery of why the constants of nature appear to be fine-tuned for the emergence of life. So this world is so perfect, so wonderfully perfect, it makes sense that we are here. And this theory says, because there is no God, there's got to be loads of universes, millions of universes parallel to this universe. So, Paul Davis, that's not me, a leading cosmologist, actually says it doesn't make sense to invoke an infinite number of unseen universes to explain the unusual features of the one we do see. Paul Davis is not a Christian. He is an atheist. But he says, this don't make sense. And closer to home, we have good old John Lennox, who said, nonsense remains nonsense, even when taught by world famous scientists. As an explanation of the universe, gravity and multiverses do not make sense. That there is a person behind it who is intelligent enough to make it does make sense. And that is not only from a scientific but a philosophical standpoint. So in the light of this creation story which Wilma wrote to us, how is Israel's God different to the God of the nations? He is the one and only creating God. He's not created. He's independent of creation. In the other myths, you have battles of gods, the creations of gods. And in this story, we have God, one God, creating. He's not part of creation, but he creates with a word, with no problem whatsoever. Nobody tries to oppose him. God just says, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, in that great creation poem that Wilma read to us, I was noting all the little refrains, like the choruses, if you like, and it was good. And it was so. God made it, and it was so. Because God creates with a word out of nothing with all his mighty power. He also creates it good. He is not only the judge of what is good, he is the measure of what is good. And if God says it's good, then yep, it is good. And God creates a good creation. God creates it perfect. It's only in Genesis 3 that we get sin entering. So what we have in Genesis 1 and 2 is what God wants creation to be like. His perfect creation. God creates good, and he creates humanity very good. That's the little altering in that last bit, that God creates humanity very good. He is the one and only. He is the creator God. There is no deification of the natural order. So the stars, the moon, they are not have power over humanity. In the old creation myths of the nations, they were terrified of the sun, of the moon, of the stars. They were astrologers. They were terrified. It wasn't writing in the Daily Mirror looking at whether you're Aquarius or Scorpio. These stars governed human life. And if you noticed, when Wilma read, didn't call it the sun, didn't call it the moon, it was the greater light and the lesser light. And this is the line I love more than any other in the whole of this story. And he also made the stars. Do you remember those pictures of stars billions and trillions and gazillions of kilometres away? I almost forgot. He also made the stars. Just like that, with a word. He also made the stars. The planets, the stars do not govern our lives. God made them. They are good and they do not affect us. We do not need to fear them. And I can tell you there are people still today who read with fear their horoscopes. And just when you hear about that, just remember and say to these people, he also made the stars. He also made the stars. And he made human beings in the divine image. He made human beings in the divine image. We are the only thing on this planet that is made in God's image, as Andrew said earlier to the children. We are the sole bearer of the divine image, male and female, which takes away any misogyny and sexism. Men, we are not complete image of God without female part of the image of God. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Sort of repeats it, doesn't it? In verses 26 to 28. So we are bearers of the divine image. We are not to make any graven image of God in the law in Exodus 20. Because we are the image of God. And interestingly enough, in the story of Marduk and all the other, he creates humanity to serve him. God creates humanity and says, I give you every plant, every fruit. And later on in chapter 2, he provides food for Adam and Eve. God serves humanity. So this great God who creates out of nothing all this wonderful, incredible universe that bursts forth into action and is continuing to expand. We don't know whether it'll expand forever or come to the big crunch or whatever it is. But he created all this and he serves humanity. And I don't know about you, but this reminds me of somebody. Somebody who knelt down, took off his outer clothing and washed his disciples' feet. Doesn't that remind you of somebody? Jesus, for example. So incredible, creative, massive, powerful God who creates humanity in his image and he serves humanity. So what? I'll just go through these very quickly. You can read them on the website afterwards. God created the natural world. It's under his control. God is free. It's the one free being in the universe. He created sexuality, human beings. He said it was good. God is not an anti-sex God. He's a loving and he is a serving God. So how can we apply this? There's no other God who deserves worship. So let us worship him alone. Not fame, not success, not money, not celebrity, nothing else deserves worship except that one God who created out of nothing. And he is in control, even when it doesn't seem so. Now, some of you may know Wilma, my experience over the last couple of years, you may kind of go, it's out of control. No, God's still in control, and we all of us need to trust him with all the issues that are going on in this sad, broken, poisonous world that we live in right now. God is still in control and we need to trust him. And God invites us to take part in his creation. So let us cultivate and sustain this wonderful world that he has put us in. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just bless you and thank you. Lord, that we can know you is a miracle. When we look at the stars, we look at the planets, we look at all those Hubble telescope pictures, Lord, it just makes our head explode. But we know that you made them. You made them with a word through your power. Yet you are a God who's created us in your image. And you love us and you serve us. And you served us most of all, Lord, when we recognize in Jesus Christ that body that was hung upon a cross, that blood that was shed for us. You are the God who creates out of nothing, yet you are the God who died for us. And we bless you and thank you for that. We stand in awe of you. We ask all these things, we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.